Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And today we will be considering the topic, Be Reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And from these verses that we have before us, we can see that the word reconcile is key, right, to this passage. In verse 18, we read, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." Right, so we see the first occurrence of the word reconcile in verse 18. And then another occurrence in the second half of that very same verse, right, "And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Right, so that would be the second time it has appeared, right, in these verses. Right, the third appearance, verse 19, first half, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself." Right, so that would be the third occurrence. Fourth occurrence, "And have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Fifth occurrence, second half of verse 20, "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So altogether, five occurrences in four verses. So this clearly is the theme, right, of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. But what do we mean by reconciliation? What does it mean to be reconciled, right, to somebody? Now, usually when we talk about reconciliation, we are talking about two people who are in enmity with one another. And what we desire in reconciliation is, well, there will be a change in relationship between these two or more parties, that no longer will they be in enmity, but now they will be at peace with one another. And that is the sense of the word we have here in verses 18 to 20, to 21. Right, the word reconciliation down here has this sense of a change in state, a change in relationship, right, with another person. And this is something that is very urgent, right? Because in verse 20, the Bible here says, well, you need to be reconciled to someone. And who is this someone? Well, this someone is none other than God. Right? This someone is none other than God. In other words, right, there is now enmity between God and man. And this message, be ye reconciled to God, is the message which the Apostle Paul was supposed to declare. And not only the Apostle Paul, but here the Apostle Paul says, well, it's not only just me, but it's we, right? We, right? In other words, referring to those who are Christians, those who are believers in Christ, that they are supposed to go about to declare this message. Right? They are messengers of reconciliation. In fact, not just messengers, right? But the word used in verse 20 is the word ambassador, right? Every Christian, right, is an ambassador for Christ. Now, of course, the chief ambassador, the capital A ambassador, is who? Right? It's none other than Christ Himself. Right? When Christ was in the world, He also preached a message of reconciliation. But now that Christ has ascended into heaven, Christ now says, well, all ye who are my children, all ye who are believers in Christ, your duty is to be ambassadors, right? Be my ambassadors, right? Ambassadors of the message of reconciliation. Right? So not just messenger, right, down here, right, but the word ambassador. Now, what is the difference between an ambassador and a messenger? Well, in some sense, an ambassador is a messenger, right? We have ambassadors around today. For example, in every country, right, they would have ambassadors, right? So there were, for example, there can be an ambassador of Singapore to Malaysia. There will be ambassador of Singapore to maybe India, to maybe Turkey, to maybe the United States of America, to China. Well, we have ambassadors representing Singapore. And when they go to these countries, right, they will do their part to communicate, right, the message which Singapore has, right, for these nations. Right, so they were, of course, right, so of course, an ambassador is a bearer of a message. But not only just that, but an ambassador is also somebody, right, who is of importance, right? Right, of importance to a nation. It is a particular office that carries a certain amount of gravity, a certain amount of seriousness, right, a certain amount of importance. And why so? Well, because an ambassador, right, is firstly supposed to represent the entire nation, right? He is not just representing himself, right? He is representing, right, for example, ambassador of Singapore is representing the whole nation of Singapore. Right? If somebody is said to be ambassador of a company, he represents represents the company, right? He or she is supposed to communicate the company's vision, and is supposed to align himself or herself with whatsoever the company holds on to, right? Ambassador for the company. Or you call yourself, for example, I am a student ambassador, right? In some schools, right, there's this term that is used, a student ambassador. Now, if you're called a student ambassador, then of course you will be a representative of what? Right? You will be a representative of the school, right? And so that student is expected to be a model of whatsoever the school represents, right? The school motto, the school vision, the school purpose. And if somebody is to look at the ambassador, well, they will say, this is what this school is all about. An ambassador. He's a representative, and not just a representative, but, you know, a representative carrying an important message, right, on behalf of someone or on behalf of the organization. Now, in this case, though, we are told in the scriptures that, right, those of us who believe in Christ, right, we are called ambassadors of Christ. Every one of us, right? We are ambassadors. And what is important is this. Now, if you call yourself an ambassador of Christ, firstly, how can you be an ambassador of Christ? Now, you can only be an ambassador of Christ, you can only represent Him, if firstly, you yourself are reconciled to God. You yourself are reconciled to God. Now, how do we know this? Well, because if you look at verse 18, right, down here, the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Christ." And only to such people, right, is it given, right, the ministry of reconciliation. Right, basically, Apostle Paul is saying, well, I myself and my associates, and you who are in the Corinthian church, right, and I would like to believe that all of you are truly born again, or because you are truly born again and are reconciled to Christ, and so therefore you are now qualified, right, to be ambassadors of Christ, and not only qualified, but you are expected to do the duty of the ambassador of Christ. But firstly, right, to be an ambassador, you must make sure first that you are reconciled to God. Because if you are not reconciled to God, you cannot be an ambassador of Christ. So first we have to understand, what does it mean to be reconciled to God? Why do we need, right, to be reconciled to God? Well, we need to be reconciled to God for this reason. And the reason is because all of us are sinners. And as sinners, right, we have transgressed the law of God. We have rebelled against God. We are in opposition to God. And who is God? Well, God is the creator of this world. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And this one living and true God, well, even when we are born in, not even when we are conceived in the womb of our mother, we are already conceived as a sinner. Respect to God, the wrath of God is upon us. In us is this nature of sin. And so, we know that God is a holy and just God. And so, because God is a holy and just God, therefore, He is in enmity with us. And so, therefore, that there is now this enmity between God and man. And because there is this enmity between God and man, there must be this reconciliation. Because if not, right, if we are not reconciled to God, like the Bible tells us, that at the end of our lives here on this earth, well, it is not over. Our souls will be separated from our body, and after that we will be thrown into hell, which is a place of fire, right, separated from God. And at the end of the times, there will be this judgment whereby we'll be resurrected to stand before God again. And this time, the judgment will be eternal death, right, in the lake of fire. Eternal separation in the lake of fire forever and ever. And so therefore, there is this urgent need, there is this great necessity, right, for you to be reconciled to God. And take note, no, when we talk about reconciliation, very often when we talk about reconciliation in the world, when we talk about two parties, you know, you need to reconcile with one another, it usually involves two parties whereby a certain proportion of blame can be attached to both parties, or many parties, right, if there are more than two parties. Sometimes it is maybe 80% to party A, 20% to party B. And then when there is a need to reconcile, or somebody comes in to mediate, right, in the situation, and sometimes mediation between quarreling neighbors, and then after that you discuss, you realize, you did this to your neighbor. Yeah, but he also did this to me. Okay, you did all these things to one another. Come, mediate and have peace. Well, usually you'll find that there is certain proportion of blame, right, to be attributed to the parties. Right? Sometimes, you know, even with regards to quarrels between husband and wife. Oftentimes, you know, both parties are in the wrong. Right? And the only thing is whether one party is more wrong than the other. That's all. Right? Not often do we see the case whereby, you know, one party is totally right and the other party is totally wrong. Of course, there can be cases like this, but not often. But with regards to the situation presented here, right, before us today, please understand that God did not one wrong thing against us. There is no sin in God. He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly just. It is us who have sinned against God. And every man, right, once conceived in sin, is already has this disposition in him. And you do not need to teach a person how to sin. Right? You do not need to teach a child how to be naughty. He or she once it grows up, right, along the way, will learn how to be naughty. It's in them. That's the character of the child. And all of us, you know, nobody needs to teach us how to lie. We have also lied before. And if you say that you have not lied before, you are telling the greatest lie. And so, well, this is how we stand before God. We are great sinners before God, and God is perfectly right and perfectly just, right, to sentence us, to condemn us into the lake of fire. He is 100% righteous, 100% correct. That is what we need to understand down here. And so, therefore, you will realize that in the scriptures, it is always said, you know, especially in verse 20, you realize that in the scriptures it said, be ye reconciled to God, not be ye reconciled with God. We oftentimes say, well, there is reconciliation between these parties. Now, reconcile yourself with him. No, when you say reconcile yourself with him, well, there is this assumption whereby, well, there is, right, certain blame to be attributed to both parties. And so both parties need to, right, reconcile with one another. And you say if you reconcile with another party, well, basically, well, you're saying that you have some blame upon yourself. You need to reconcile, right, with that party. Say sorry to that party. But here, well, it said, well, be ye reconciled to God. So in other words, right, there is no blame attributed to God. All the blame is totally upon us. And what we need in our lives is this, is that this wrath of God, right, this just wrath of God, right, which is upon us, right, must be appeased, right, it must be lifted. We do not want to be we do not want to be enemies with him any longer. But we now want to have a change of state of this relationship. No longer in enmity with God. And how so? How so? Well, this is the message which the ambassadors were supposed to bring. And I'm sure you will agree, right, that this is a most urgent and important message. Far more urgent and important than any message that is out there in the world. So many of the messages out there in the world, what are they dealing with? Well, they are only dealing with this present world, isn't it? And some of you are your ambassadors for certain people, right, certain companies. Well, whatever these companies represent, whatever these people represent, the message that they bring, well, every single one of them has to do with the things of this world. Is that not true? And we are very proud to be ambassadors of these people. Nothing wrong if the Lord has called you to be ambassadors to this company, but we are very proud of being ambassadors to these organizations or to these people, and we take great pride at it. We say, oh, I must do my best. It is an important position. Now, if this is an important position, then what more? Being ambassador of Christ. Well, that must be the of chief most importance. Because why? You are representing, firstly, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can anybody be higher than Christ? Can anybody be higher than God? Right, no one. And secondly, right, the message that you are bringing to people is a message of grave importance, because it involves what? Not only just this present world, but eternity. It involves the soul, the destination of the soul. And so yes, that's why we cry aloud, be ye reconciled to God. But firstly, make sure all ambassadors, you are reconciled to God. And this reconciliation can only come through whom? Only can come through the reconciler. And who is the reconciler? Well, interestingly, the reconciler is God himself. And he did it through what? He did it through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And the name Jesus Christ is a very meaningful name, right? The word Jesus, right, comes from the Greek Jesus, or the Hebrew Yeshua or Joshua, right, which means Savior. And the word Christ, right, Christos, right, is the Greek word for the Hebrew Mashiach, right, which means Messiah, the Anointed One. So Jesus Christ is the anointed Savior of the world. No other one, right? Jesus Christ, the one whom God has anointed. And he is the only begotten Son of God, right? 100% man and 100% God. And reconciliation is through him, right? That is what the Bible wants us to know. All things are of God, who can reconcile us to himself by who? By Jesus Christ. Right? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And in verse 21, it's also stated, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is Christ. Christ is the reconciler, the one who has reconciled all things to God. And how did Christ reconcile all things to God? Well, by first coming into this world as a man. Right? He who is God came into this world to be man. Right? So Jesus Christ, 100% man and 100% God. And why was it necessary for him to come into this world to be man? Well, because he must represent us. He must be our substitute. And he can only represent us if he is man. For us, well, we had our first representative, who is Adam. Adam, the first man. And Adam, the first man in the Garden of Eden, failed the test when he ate of the forbidden fruit, and therefore plunged, right, the whole of mankind into sin. And so now, what is necessary is for Jesus Christ, right, to come into this world, to be our representative, to be that second Adam, to keep the law of God perfectly for us. What the first man failed to do, now Jesus Christ has come to do. But why can't it just be any other man? Well, because any other man, right, they are all conceived in sin. But Christ, well, he is not just 100% man, he is 100% God. And so therefore he is sinless and can therefore keep the law of God perfectly for us. And that is exactly what he came to do, right, in his first coming, when he came into this world. Right, throughout his entire life, he was sinlessly perfect, right, keeping the law of God 100%, right, for us. And so he fulfilled, right, the righteousness of God. He was spotless, right, as the Lamb of God, right, without blemish. And because he is spotless, because he is without blemish, so therefore he can be the perfect substitute and sacrifice for us on the cross. Right? That was the second thing that he did. Right? not only did he keep the law perfectly for us, but he also went to the cross to die on our behalf. Right? Understand that it should have been us to die on the cross. But no, Christ took our place to die on the cross as our sin offering. Right? That is why it says down here, for he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ was the sin offering for us. He was the propitiation of our sins, meaning, well, he was that sacrifice to appease, right, the divine, right, to fulfill the divine requirements of God and to appease his wrath. So that the wrath of God need not be upon us. That was what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Died in our place, shedding his blood for the remission of sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there'll be no forgiveness of sin, no remission of sins. And then he died. And then he was buried. But then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Why? Well, because right, since he knew no sin, so sin and death have no power over him. No, with regards to all of us, no, if our sins are not forgiven, sins are not washed away, well, sin and death has power over us. And there's no way we can escape death. Spiritual death, physical death, as well as eternal death. There's no way we can escape death. But, you know, for Christ, sinless. And so therefore, death has no power over him. And so on the third day, he rose again from the dead, conquering sin and death. And after 40 days upon the earth, he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God. Right, so that any one of us who now repents of their sin and receive Christ sincerely as their Lord and as their Savior, we are now no longer, right, be enemies with God. Why? Well, because now Christ has been made the righteousness of such a person. His sins have now been forgiven. His sins has now been washed away by Christ's blood. And Christ has now clothed him with his own righteousness, with his perfect righteousness, so that when now God looked down from heaven, what he sees will be, oh, this person, his sins are now forgiven, and I see Christ's righteousness on him. It's just as if we have not sinned. And now, instead of being the enemy of God, the Bible here, Bible says, well, now we are accounted to be his children. We are accounted to be in his heavenly family, not enemy, but family. And here the Bible says, you are now accounted to be his ambassador. But first, you must make sure that you are born again. You must make sure that you are reconciled to Jesus Christ. So, are you firstly one of those who are reconciled? Are you among the reconciled? That would be the first point that you should take note. Are you among the reconciled? And if you are among the reconciled, automatically you are an ambassador of Christ. And as the ambassador of Christ, well, you have to make sure that you do your best, right, to proclaim the message of reconciliation, because you are given, right, this message of reconciliation. It has been, you know, and this word given here, right, and the word committed, right, in verse 19, right, has the sense of this ministry being entrusted unto you.
Right.
It is your calling. It is your chief calling. Ambassador. Every one of you. And so if you hold yourself an ambassador of such a place, ambassador of such a country, ambassador of such an organization, ambassador of such a person, surely you must hold on even more to that chief calling of yours. I am an ambassador of Christ. I must make sure that I am committed and wholly given unto the ministry of reconciliation, because it is a most needful message, an important role which God has given to me. And are we committed? That's the question. Are we committed? Well, if the Apostle Paul was committed, very committed. In fact, the reason why he wrote these things was because there were those who were trying to undermine, right, the ministry which God has given to him. And therefore, he was forced, right, to state this upfront. Well, the ministry of reconciliation has been given to me, and in fact, not only to me, but also to all of you. Also to all of you. And so therefore, will you not join together with me with regards to this ministry of reconciliation? Don't be so focused of, you know, being an ambassador of things upon the earth. You know, a lot of us, we are so focused on being ambassador of things upon the earth, forgetting that, you know, whatever we have upon the earth will one day pass away. Right? Even this body will one day pass away. Right? That is why in the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right, the Bible makes it very clear. Well, this body that we have is a tabernacle that we must soon put off. We are awaiting for the house. Right, the house that is to come. I'm purposely drawing a contrast between tabernacle and house. Tabernacle is what? Temporary. House? Permanent. We are waiting for that permanent dwelling place, right? The body that we be in. Any body that we have here, temporary. And so therefore, you know, whatever we can do today, well, really is just what? Just a slowing down of a body that is perishing. Any message that is conveyed today has only to do with this perishing body and this perishing world. Well, you can only try your best to retard it. In fact, you cannot even reverse it. There's no way you can reverse it. You can only retard it. You can only slow it down. But soon after this body is put off, then what? Then what? This is the message that we are concerned down here, and go forth and be ambassadors of this message. This message. The message of reconciliation through, right, Christ. And it must. And so if you say you are committed to this ministry of reconciliation, you must also make sure that you talk about the right reconciler. The right message. The right message. Because what happened in 2 Corinthians was, there was a group of people who claimed themselves to be super apostles. No, because Paul says, I am an apostle. And he was a genuine apostle. Capital A apostle. But there were those that claimed, oh, I am super apostle, even above Paul. But the message that they declared was not a message of reconciliation. It was a message of health and wealth about this earth. Not about the soul. Not about the need to be, you know, to have this change of relationship with God, not to be reconciled to God. No, their message has nothing to do with this. And yet they had the gumption, you know, they had the guts, right, to go against the Apostle Paul and say, well, you are the false one, we are the real one. So the Apostle Paul had to bring it to light. No. A ministry of reconciliation, and all along I've been sticking to this same message, the message that is only through Christ, Christ alone, the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of the way, not one of the truth, one of the life, but the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through him. Only this way. One way. And yes, indeed, that is what defines Paul's life, right? There is never this changing of message. Even when there's this opposition against him, well, he continued, right, to state this message lovingly, with much perseverance, right, knowing that this is the truth, right? This is true love, really. Right, talking about this message, because it's only by this reconciler that the person may go to Christ. And this is what we must do, right? Going out to the entire world and to tell them, oh, be ye reconciled to God. This is a command, this is an imperative. This is, you know, there is no wishy-washy of this message. You know, this is what you must do. This is the person whom you must seek. This is exactly what he has done. Oh, will you not therefore be reconciled to him? An urgent message, an important message, the true message. And this is also the message that we bring today, especially this is Gospel Sunday. We would also like to urge anyone who is seated down here, if you have not known him, well, we pray that you may also be reconciled to him. Be reconciled to him. And we do not want to assume that, you know, all who profess themselves to be Christ also knows this message. Because the very fact that Paul says down here, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. Now, who is he saying this message to? Well, he was saying this message to, well, the Corinthian Christians themselves. So that would mean that there were some in the Corinthian Christians, the Corinthian church, who may call themselves Christians, but they were actually not having any true faith. And there he was telling to them, well, be ye reconciled to God. And indeed, already right in this episode, we can see that there are some who were really not born again. Why? Because in the first place, they were declaring a message that was wholly different to that of the Apostle Paul. A different gospel, which is no gospel at all, no good news at all. And so it could be, there may be some who may have been going to church for many, many years. And you have been saying that, oh, I'm a Christian, and you may be using the same jargon, but in your heart, you have never really trusted in Christ and submitted yourself to him. Well, we pray that today may be a day of change, with regards to you, with regards to your state of relationship with God. No longer under enmity, but now there is peace between you and God. And this peace between you and God can only come through who? Through Jesus Christ. Because it's only Christ who can wash you from your sin. It's only the righteousness of Christ that can allow you to stand before God's throne. Do you know him? Do you know him? Now, this is why in church we frequently talk about the need to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to evangelize. Right? So we have evangelism. And we thank God for many of you who, on the monthly church evangelism, you go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you, in your own capacity at home, you have also tried your best to be a good testimony, and when opportunity allows it, you share this good news. Well, we are very thankful for it. And we must continue to declare this good news because, the world truly needs to be reconciled to God. But not only through this, but we are also thankful that Tabernacle can have a small part with regards to missions. And so we thank thee for opportunity, thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can conduct a VPS in certain places. But also we are thankful that we can also be in support of missions. And so we are very thankful that in the in recent years, right, we can firstly support our brother, right, preacher James Tan, and the wife, and his wife Charmaine, right, as missionaries to the Bible College of East Africa. Well, he goes there to train even more missionaries, and for that we are very happy. And you know, he trained them also in the same message, not a different message, but the same message down here, right? That the reconciler is only, there's only one reconciler, and this one reconciler is Christ. We are only saved, right, in Jesus Christ, saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, not by any good works that we have done, but simply by believing in Christ. Same message. And he goes there and he tries his best, right, together with Charmaine, right? And Charmaine is involved in the kindergarten over there, so with young children, James with grown men, planting the gospel seed. Right? And for that, we are most happy to continue to pray for them and to support them. And then in recent weeks, right, we have the inauguration of Zhengzhou BP Church, a small congregation, right? First meeting there were 15, but after that, well, a little lesser, because some of them were Christians from other places, right? FEBC alumni who came in to support him. Now started off currently about 5 or so. I think there are 2 or 3 who has currently joined in, and he tries his best to evangelize, you know, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, right, to a people, right, in China who so urgently, right, needs, right, to hear, right, the good news of Jesus Christ, to be reconciled to God. And really, right, this should be a reminder for us, right, today as we hear this message, that we too must do our part. And so, how are you doing your part? Firstly, are you among the reconciled? If you're among the reconciled, then you must tell people about the reconciler. And if you are not reconciled, then the message down here today, be ye reconciled. We hope that you will take heed. How to be reconciled? Repent of your sins. Believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and was buried, and on the 3rd day he rose again from your dead, and that through him, right, your sins are forgiven. And then you submit to him as your Lord and your Savior, right, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that this is so, right, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt have eternal life. Right, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is how to be reconciled to God. Are you reconciled to God? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, how, O Lord, we thank thee that in Christ Jesus we can be reconciled to thee. And so, Father, we pray that down here every one of us may indeed know the salvation that can come through him, eternal life, peace with thee. How, Lord, we can be assured that those who believe in thee will one day be with thee in heaven, yeah, in the new heavens and the new earth. Life full with joy forevermore. And so, Lord, we pray that this message, be reconciled, may be sounded loud and clear, and that we who know and have trusted in thee will also do our parts to be faithful ambassadors of Christ. And so we commit these things into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.